The place of difference is the place of connection. We live in a world where people have lots of contacts. If I came and I grabbed your phone, I'm sure I will find in your phone lots of contacts. I have lots. You have lots. But because you have contact does not mean that there is a connection. And connections vary. There are levels of connections. I'm connected with everyone here at a different way, in different ways. You connected with different ones in here in different ways. And the level of connection is determined by love. You can be married and not have a strong connection like you have with other people, and you say that is a bad marriage. Yeah? Talk to me. You say that is not a faithful relationship because the connection is not proper. God wants every one of us here to be connected properly. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone connected properly. If I have the number of the Prime Minister of Canada, I have it on my phone, or I found it online, does that mean that I have a connection with him? So connections happen because of relationships. Yes? You don't have a connection with God if you don't have a relationship with God. You know about God. That means you have some kind of a contact. You've got information. You've got facts. But you don't have intimacy. Intimacy is a factor of connectivity. You have to be connected. Connected. Connection happens because of your heart. Then something happened here. Today I want to ask you, as I ask myself, what is your connection with God? Do you have an intimate relationship with God? Or is your relationship casual? Now that's a very important question, especially as we are in this time that you might call the end of the age. It's a very important question. It's a question that you and I need to answer today. Not tomorrow, today. You got to answer that because as long as you have life right now, that's the only time you can decisively make the decision. You cannot make this decision afterwards. And you cannot make this decision in the time of crisis. No Olympian starts running without training. Your devotion to your sport is manifested by the time invested in it. Your devotion to God is manifested in the time you invest in God. Your love for God is manifested by how much passion you have for Him. You cannot have the relationship of a prostitute with God. That's hard, but that's the truth. You cannot have a pimpish relationship with God. Because there's some kind of a contact, there's some kind of connectivity, but it's not the kind of connection you want with God. Your relationship with God cannot be founded on what you're going to get. What did you do for me lately? No. Because love goes beyond what I can get. Love is love. Period. And I have to qualify my relationship with God today. What's your relationship with God? Do you serve God because He's going to heal you? He's going to meet this need in your life? Or do you come to God and say, God, I just want you? The danger of not just wanting God for God, period, is that your love gets to wax cold. It gets to wax cold when you go through trials and temptations. But when your love is focused on the right way, you say, the Bible says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. When you're going through diverse trials and temptations, knowing this, that when you allow patience to have its full work, you come to a place where you lack nothing. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who's going to give to you liberally. If you miss this point, if you lack the wisdom of what I just told you, count it all joy when you go through trials and temptations. He says, if you don't get that, ask God. He's going to give you the wisdom of that fact. Because the end of it is that you're going to come to a place where you lack nothing. You lack what? Nothing. Where's your love walk with God? I didn't say coming to church. Coming to church, that's contact. That's contact. That's pure contact. Loving God, that's making a connection. And the amazing thing about that is this, that when you love God, all that God has flows into your life. A man that has a father that loves him and will do anything for him, who finds himself without money in his pocket, but has a father that can meet all of whatever the need is, does he need to worry about the fact that he doesn't have money in his pocket? No? Doesn't. Because he's got somebody that he has connection with that can meet all of those needs. So what does the Lord Jesus say to his disciples sending them out? He says to them, when you go, don't carry any staff, no stave, don't carry any scripts or purse or wallet or whatever. Don't even take change of clothes. Don't take two clothes, that's it, no more. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, I am your source. Do you understand? I am your source. But what do? I worry when I don't have enough money in my pocket. And by so doing, what am I saying? God doesn't love me enough to meet my next need. That's all I'm saying. And that's an insult. I'm just talking. That's an insult. For you and I to think God cannot means that we have limited the God who created the heavens and the earth, who supplied the seas and the oceans with all kinds of creatures, filled the airspace with all kinds of birds, has trees everywhere, has all kinds of minerals, gold, bauxite, all kinds of stuff. Everywhere you look, he has all this stuff, but he has no capacity to address your need. That is very bold. That is very, very bold. So why do you say it's bold? No, for you to think that God cannot is a very bold act. Because you must know something that God does not know. And that is that God is incapable of being God all the time. That's a bold act and a bold thought. To think you must be God. So when we operate in fear and in doubt, we are making ourselves God over God. I don't know if you heard what I just said. When you operate in fear and in doubt, you're making yourself God over God. See, how is that possible? Because you just said, in your thinking, God cannot find a way, any way possible to meet my need. I'm reminded of a man, I think it was during either the First World War or the Second World War. He's surrounded by the enemy. But the one thing he knew was God. And he takes off. He runs. And they're going after him. They're trying to find him. And he finds a cave. And he runs inside the cave and he hides. And the enemy came. They came to the cave. And they saw a cobweb right in the entrance. And he said, he couldn't possibly be there. Because if somebody went through here, they would have broken the cobweb. God spawned a cobweb in seconds without a spider. Could he do that for me? I don't need to know how God will do what God will do. I just need to remind myself always that God is God and God will do the right thing by me. That's it. That's all I need to concern. I don't need to worry myself about my future. I just need to recognize that God is enough. When I started this morning praying at the beginning of the service, I reminded myself about the time that what a story. Wow. Let me just tell you a story. When I first came to this country, we arrived in this country May the 1st of 1981. And we were, first place I stayed, myself and Mama, was a hotel here close to the airport. We had a very interesting day because their hot water tank was busted. There was no hot water. So here we were, just came in from Africa with the nice warmth there, and we opened the tap here, and the water is freezing cold. Okay, that's a good start. We got to Autobahn, there was no school, the students were gone. And there's this old castle. That time it was called the Winnipeg Bible College. They had this old building, cold building. You know, looked like the building that Dracula would live in. And here we were all by ourselves in this big building. They gave us a guest room. We were there. And fast forward. Say fast forward. Fast forward. We moved from there, we moved to Niverville. And we're staying just behind Wynn's Furniture at the time in a nice apartment. And we started running out of money. Couldn't work. Paid the last rent and no money. What are we going to do? I went to school. And a prof of mine, without mentioning anything, calls me and says, how are things with you? I said, oh, good. He said, tell me really, how are things with you? I said, well, we have this situation. So you don't have any money to take care of that? I said, no. He said, tell you what, move out of there, come stay with me in my house. I have a basement suite. So we packed our stuff and we moved with this Professor Gus Pankovo. He's from Peru. From Peru, Gus Pankovo. I am going to try to find him somehow. So we stayed in East Kildonan and just by where Super Value is or whatever, you know, that general area. Yeah, close to Gateway area there. So we're staying there. And I had this Newport Chrysler. 8 cylinders, 350, whatever. This thing is a gas guzzler. Do you understand? You know, you put the gas in, you start the engine, and gone. And my school is in Otterburn. That's where we first stayed. It's about an hour from where we were down there. My gas tank is empty. And I said to the Lord, can't go to school today. He said, why can't you go? I said, I don't have any gas. He said, how do you normally go? I said, in the car. He said, then drive the car. I said, Lord, I just told you my gas tank is empty. How do you normally go? In that car. Then drive the car. So I got into the car, started the engine, started. I said, Lord, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It's winter. Summer, I can see that I might be able to go some 5 kilometers maybe on this empty gas tank. But winter, and my school is way down there. So I got into the highway and drove all the way down to school. Praise the Lord. Maybe God is going to use somebody to give me some money and I can get some gas. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody looked at me. Nobody asked me anything. Now it's time to go back. Lord, how am I going to go back home? I don't have any money, no gas. How did you come in that car? Then drive the car. So I drove the car back. All the way back to Winnipeg. That was Monday. Tuesday. Nobody in my house where I was staying gave me any money or said, you know, I feel led by the Spirit of the Lord to give you some money. No such thing. God was not talking to nobody. And I'm not about to go talk to anybody about my problem. Because my problem is not their problem. My problem is God's problem. Tuesday, went through the same thing. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I go all the way. Tuesday, nobody helped me that way or that way. Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, same thing. I'm looking at that thing. That thing is on E. I normally fill this gas tank every other day. How is it that I'm going back and forth on empty? Friday, I'm coming. And I get to the corner of Niverville on Highway 59, and there was a friend of ours. His name was Henry Weeb. Huh? Newfeld? Hubert, that's right. Thank you. I turned in and I thought I had, because we had a freezer there that we had, you know, when we're living in Niverville, we had this big freezer and we'd, you know, put some chicken in there. So I thought maybe we had some chicken in there. I went, checked, no chicken. I came to the house and I said to the lady of the house, you know, I said, I thought I had some chicken, there's no chicken. She said, just wait, wait. So she comes and she gives me a check. I open it, $500. I said, I think you made a mistake. You wrote $500. Maybe it's supposed to be 50 or something like that. He said, no, my husband said I should give you this money. I'm looking at her. You guys, I know you guys don't have money. You're giving me $500. For what? So I took the check. I went to the bank, cashed it, went to the gas station. I filled my gas tank and the thing moved from E to F. That's the only time you should like F. Come back from school and say, I had an F, praise the Lord. Someone will knock your head in. I said, Lord, what happened here? He said, for you, E stands for empty. For me, it stands for enough. God provided. Is somebody listening? God provided. I did not know how God was going to solve the problem, but God solved the problem. And I'm saying to somebody here today, and I'm saying to myself, it doesn't matter what your problem is, God is the solution. He knows. And when it seems like it is too late, God is just starting. Love for God causes you to know that God also loves you. And that this God who loves you will not leave you hanging. Not leave you hanging. And push turns to shove. Just move faster. Hallelujah. Just let God be God. Because if you let circumstances begin to determine how you relate with God, your love will wax cold. You give up. You begin to gripe and complain about everything and anything. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous, especially now, in this season that we are living as God's people. That's the most dangerous thing you can do, because the Lord is coming back. You know what I found out in my study of the Word of God? The strongest message that God speaks before His return, that He wants us about, is about love. Come with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to try not to make too many commentaries. It says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Read it again. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. What commandments did the Lord Jesus Christ give? Love. Verse 3. For this is the what? The will of God. Even your sanctification, the one who separates you, that ye would abstain from what? from fornication. Now, fornication is the fake love. That's fake love. That is contact without connection. Porneia, pornography, that is contact without connection. Yeah? Verse 4. That every one of you should know how to what? Possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Possess your vessel. Possess your vessel. And the first state that he's dealing with here is about self-love that is not God-connected. Are you with me? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Seize control of yourself. Because the Lord, basically what the Lord is saying is that the love of people are going to wax cold, and the reason it's waxing cold is because they become immoral. They become adulterers. They do not continue in the ways of God. And it says, seize control of yourself. Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And verse 5, watch this. Not in what? In lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles wish what? Know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. I want you to notice what it's talking about here, because I want you to see where it's going to end. Don't defraud your brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, everyone who is a defrauder, as we also have forewarned you and testified. In other words, God says, don't defraud your brother, because God will avenge such. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Verse 7. For God had not called us unto what? Uncleanness, but unto holiness. Verse 8. He therefore that despiseth, it's a very key word, despiseth not the man, not man, but God. He therefore that despiseth, that rejects, that sets apart and looks down without loving, despiseth not man. You think, oh, I am despising this person. I am defrauding this person. I am putting this person down. He says, you're not putting any man down. You are putting God down. You are rejecting. When you reject people, you are rejecting God. Are we together? When you're not loving a person, you are not loving God. So he says, so how can you say you love God when you don't love your brother that you see? He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. You should know this. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love what? One another. To do what? Love one another. First of all, it talks about the fake kind of love. And now he starts talking about true love, what it should be like. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase how? More and more. So love can be increased. Remember what I started out by saying, connectivity has degrees, has levels. Yeah? Okay. So it's increase in your love. That ye study to be what? Study to be quiet. What does that mean? That means you don't have to shoot your mouth off on every issue. study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. In other words, let me just make a quick comment here. He says, study to be quiet. Do your own business. In other words, find something to do. Don't be idle. 3, and to work with your own hands. Don't be a beggar. Hello? Don't become a burden. As we commanded you, that ye may what? Walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of what? Nothing. Because you are quiet. Yeah? 1. 2. You are taking care of your own personal business. 3, you're working with your hands. Yeah? He says, this way you end up lacking nothing. Let's go on to the next verse. Why is this all this love thing so important? Next verse. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are what? Asleep. What are we talking about now? We're talking about the return of the Lord. Are you with me? Where did it all start from? Love, love, love. Fake love, proper love. Now, loving actions. And now he starts telling us that all of this is related to the reward of his return. 16. For the Lord shall what? Descend from heaven with a shout. You think the guy was crazy? How did we get from this, those other stuff to the Lord is going to return? Because it's all connected. And as people who love God, who are expecting Jesus to come, this is not the time for us to be lazy or to be mouthing off. He says, learn how to be quiet. Control your emotions. Focus on doing business, taking care of your business. Work. It's a good thing. Oh, Jesus is coming, I don't need to work. No, he says, this is the time for you to work. Work. It's a good thing. God will take care of things. Get yourself out of that mess. He says, the Lord is going to return, and he's going to come with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and he starts to talk about the return. Love. It is crucial. Hallelujah. It is what? Crucial. Come with me to Matthew chapter 24 real briefly. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I'll take it up from maybe about verse 10 or so. For interest of time. It says, and then shall many be what? Offended. When people are offended, are they walking in love? No. Men shall be offended and shall do what? Betray one another. Is that what people that are loving each other do? Betray one another? No. And shall hate one another. Is that what you, people who love each other shall hate one another? No. Okay, verse 11. And many false prophets shall what? Rise and shall do what? Deceive many. Do we have that today? Okay, 12. And because of what? Iniquity. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. What time is this? This is the time of his return. It's talking about end times. You say, man of God, what are you saying to us? I'm saying, do everything to stay in love. Because that's the only way you get to stay connected. That's the only way you're going to stay connected, when you stay in love. If you don't stay connected in love, you are going to start acting crazy and disconnect yourself from the flow of the things of God, and then all the garbage of the devil will start flowing into your life. Remember the first study to be what? Quiet. Okay, if you study to be quiet, which means you learn how to be silent, which means that you are not shooting your mouth off, which means that your tongue is not busy doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah? Now let's look at James chapter 3. So we pull the whole picture together. James chapter 3. I'll take it up from let's take it up from verse 5. James 3. It says, and so the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. A world of what? Because iniquity, what? Abounds, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. So, because in the midst of our quietness, we are in a very loud world. Do you understand? Well, it's through Facebook, Instagram, whatever, all kinds of social media. Even without you moving this, you're speaking, yeah? And so many lives have been destroyed like that. Now, he says, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and set it on fire, the cause of nature. And it set on fire of hell. Verse 7, watch this. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and had been tamed of mankind. 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. 11. Though the fountain sent forth at the same place sweet water and bitter, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, eat a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. 14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. 15. Let's come close to landing. This wisdom, because it a wisdom. Go back to verse 14 again. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, If you are sitting down there plotting and thinking all kinds of stuff that are not founded in the spirit of love, it says, don't, you are lying against the truth. Because there are so many people say, God said, God told me to do this and do that, and it was born out of bitter envy and strife in their hearts. It says that it is a wisdom. Verse 15. This and strife. It says, this wisdom descended not from above. It didn't come from God. But it's earthly, it is sensual, it is what? Devilish. 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then it is what? Peaceable. Then it's what? Gentle. Then it's what? Easy to be entreated. Then it's what? It's full of mercy. And it's full of what? Good fruits. And it's without what? Partiality. And without what? Hypocrisy. Those are all demonstrations of what love is. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Galatians chapter 5. We'll wrap up with this. Galatians 5. I believe it should be verse 19. Galatians 5. Oh, actually, well, let me just, I like that verse. Go back to that one, James 4, 1, and then come to Galatians 5. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? So if you make that wrong connection, that's all you're going to get. Yeah? Okay, Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. And remember what we said last week, or I think it was last Sunday, the way to inherit is through love. Yeah? So everything that has been listed there are not products of love. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, right? Does it say the fruits? Okay. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Now, I know we have a comma there, but that should actually be a colon. Because now it's going to list out what love looks like. The fruit of the Spirit is love, which means joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no what? Law. Against such there is what? No law. Now what else is there no law connected to? Grace. So love equals grace. Hello? I said love equals what? Grace. And the manifestation of love are all those things, joy, peace, long-suffering. So the manifestation of grace in your life is the same. That you are not walking around like you've been baptized in lemon juice and prune juice mixed together. You're not a pain in people's behind, straight talk. Huh? When you operate in grace, you extend grace to other people. You're willing to forgive. You're willing to give the other person a pass. You're willing to help them. You're patient with them. You know, the Bible says the little one shall lead them. I had a particular family at our home the other day. And the kids were playing some games on the television. And I was enjoying them playing their game and knocking down things and doing stuff. And the daughter of the family came to me with the tool, with the game device, whatever you call it, and said, "It's your turn to play." I wasn't planning on playing. I said, "It's your turn to play." So I don't know what to do. So she starts showing me what to do. And I'm bumming out seriously. I'm trying everything. She was patient with me. I gave up, and she said, "No, try again." And she put her hand on mine to help me do it. And I'm watching this play out. And then she let me do it. And she shows me. And she watches me do it. And I started getting it, but I wasn't there yet. I considered what was going on. I wasn't going to play the game, but I was excited for them. And she wanted me to be part of it, not just be contact, but connected. Are you with me? Not just have contact and just enjoy it. No, I want you to be part of it. I want you to be part of it. And while I'm trying to be part of it, I was messing it up, but she was patient to make sure that I get it. Then dawned on me. This is a principle of leadership. So I said to the father, I said, "She is showing me what leadership looks like." Because this leadership is about you doing something, and then you let the other person do it while you watch. So that you're reproducing yourself. That's part of leadership. And dawned on me, leadership is only possible, true leadership is only possible where love is. Leadership is truly only possible where love is. Because if you're a leader and you don't want other people to grow and experience, then you don't love them. Then you have become a user, not a lover. You love, you create an atmosphere for continued growth. And for us as God's people, our demonstration of love is not in what we can get, but what we can do to make whatever it is that we have better. Your greatest demonstration of love for the Lord, watch this last statement, is not, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I give God praise for his love for me." Your greatest demonstration of love for the Lord is that you are a soul winner. Do you know that? That's it. That you're a soul winner. I got a call this morning from the Philippines. And his daughter was telling me, he said, "Remember the crusade you came here to do a few years ago?" I said, "Yes." He said, "That crusade has birthed 7 churches." Because we did not go there for ourselves, we went there to raise up an army. And it continues to spread. When I look, and I'm ministering the word of God, and Mama, or Pastor Daniel, Pastor Sunday, Pastor Henry, Pastor Joyce, anyone that God brings up here, Bram Moses, I've had Bram Moses minister here, and so on, and you've heard me say it over and over again. I am ministering to pastors. Have you heard me say that? Not everybody's right behind this pulpit today. But as I teach the Word of God, I make sure I break it down to the point that you absolutely understand it, so that any one of you can open this book under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and bring forth a word, and people will get something out of it because somebody put something inside of you. Or else, you know what? I can speak to you in 10 minutes, and maybe I will try that 2 weeks or 3 weeks straight. I'll preach in 10 minutes. You get a whole lot in 10 minutes, believe me. And I close that book, and we go home. And the difference will be that I just preached. I did not bring you to a place where I invested inside of you, so that you know that you know that you know that you know. Preaching is different from teaching. Huh? Two different things. And I know when I said I could preach for 10 minutes, some of you are thinking, right, yeah, let's see that happen. Don't dare me, because I might just preach for 5 minutes. I've done it so many times. So many times. 5 minutes. 3 minutes. And God will still do what He wants to do. But teaching is different. Amen? Rise with me. If you're here today and you've heard the word of the Lord and you say, you know what? I don't just want to have contact with the Lord. I want to have a connection. I've had contact. Connection, that's what I want. I want to connect with God. I want God to be able to pour Himself in me and through me. I am going to the next dimension. I am going to receive what God has for me. I cannot be left behind. I am not going to wax cold in my love relationship with God because I'm serving God just for things. I want to know God, because when I have God, I have more than enough. I want a relationship, God. I want a relationship. Not religion, a relationship. If that's you, just raise your right hand. I want to pray with you. I see that hand over there. I see that hand over there. That's a young hand. Wow, praise the Lord. Thank God for that hand. I see that hand over there. Praise God. Hallelujah. You hear this morning, you say, I want a connection with God. Not just I know about God. I want to know God. I want a relationship with God. Raise that hand. I see those hands over there. I see more hands over here. I see that. I see these hands over here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask one more time. You hear this morning and you're saying, God, I don't just want to make contact with you. I want to connect with you. I want to have a pure, wholesome relationship with you. I want to be so connected, sold out to you, that nothing in this life phases me. Everything about me from this moment on is about you. Raise that hand. All right. I want to invite you to come. Come stand here with me. Some of you are going to be coming because you're making a relationship connection for the first time ever. Some of you are doing so because you're recommitting your life to the Lord. But whatever your stance is, just come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Move from your seats. I saw some hands on this side and some over here. Just come quickly. Let God meet with you. It's an important experience in God. Hallelujah. You're not doing it for any man. You're doing it between you and God. This is you and God. Hallelujah. I was at a conference recently, and there was an altar call. I was right up there at the altar call. So, Pastor, you went on for an altar call? Oh, yeah. Because it was between me and God. Me and God. God, I want to be part of what you are saying right now. If you raise your hand, I'm going to wait for you. Just going to wait another 15 seconds. If you raise your hand, follow through with it. Come, this is your opportunity to come stand right here, right now. Your hand was raised. I saw a young hand over there. Come quickly. I saw some hands over here. Just come. God saw your hand, and I'm going to pray right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just as I am, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just talk to the Lord your own way. Just talk to Him your own way. He knows you. He knows why you're standing where you are right now. He knows your heart. He's your God. Right this very moment, just you and Him. He has a personal connection with you right where you are right now. He's dealing with you personally. It has nothing to do with anybody else. This is you and God. This is you and God. Mandore bashakete de barakata. Rikato boshendele masokoto baka. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we give you praise. Oh, God, I come, I come, I come, I come, I come, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O God, my God, I come. I come. He is faithful who's called you. He knows you better than anyone can and will ever know you. He knows the things that you are afraid of. He knows the things in your life that you say, God, if anybody sees this, what are they going to think? But God knows about it. And He still loves. And He cares about every aspect of your life right now. Oh, le mashakata le barosoko. Father, behold your sons and your daughters. Behold these sons and these daughters, O God, that are standing right here. I ask, O God, that you meet them. Lord, O God, meet them right where they are, right this very moment. Every life transformed, every mind renewed. Grace, 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 grace upon every life. Touch them, O God, in their spirit, in their soul, in their bodies. Touch them, O God, wherever they in every area, O God, of their life, where, Lord, O God, they need, O Father, wholeness. God, be the one that causes them to be whole. Lord, oh God, there are some standing here, kneeling here, oh God. They're saying, God, I need, oh God, more of your life flowing in me and through me. I want to be used of you. I want to be impacted by your life. I want, oh God, oh Father, to be relevant, useful, a vessel of honor, a vessel of gold. God, do something in my life. Father God, everyone here, Father God, do something extraordinary in their lives. Touch every man and every woman. Cause us, oh God, everyone to be connected by the authority of your word. I thank you, God, for your grace that is sufficient. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are our healer. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are the restorer of our souls. You are faithful, oh God. 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 We give you praise. Raise up your people. Raise them, Lord. Raise them up. And Father, use these lives, oh God, in a glorious manner. Use them, oh God, to terrorize the powers of darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for your hand upon them. Father, oh God, they will speak your name, and demons will not only tremble, they will flee in the name of Jesus. Lord, oh God, they will speak your name, and sickness and diseases, oh God, will be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for your empowering grace. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father, oh God, that you are the champion of your people. Oh God, use every life in Jesus' mighty name. Blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. To the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. One time, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated. Go back to your seats. May the faithfulness of God be demonstrated in every area of your lives. May God be your peace and strength. We'll call on those that will help serve in communion to please just come quickly and position yourself. Want to encourage you, every one of us, to honor God today and every day with the best that God has given to us.